Okay, Rabosai, we're here in the sugya on Daf Dalid Omra Aleph. Well, let's just review what we know. We have a situation where we're going to allow the wedding to take place a little bit earlier than scheduled. And the reason for that is because they've already prepared the wine and the meat. And unfortunately, there was a catastrophe in the family. The father of the chassan died, or the mother of the kala died, in such a way that they will not be able to replace that suda that was already prepared. So the halacha advocates rushing the chassan and the kala into the chuppah, and the mess will have to be, the burial of the mess will be delayed, so that immediately after the chuppah, the chassan kala can begin the shivas yemei hamishta, and that means they can eat the suda. And the shivas yemei avelus will be postponed until after the shivas yemei hasimcha. Now there are a couple of questions and points that we have to make here. We've discussed this in the past. Number one, it seems that it's not enough from the perspective of the Braisa to urge or to rush the chassan kala into the chuppah, but on the top of Daf Dalet Omen Aleph, the Braisa adds another stipulation: Uboel beilas mitzvah uporish. There has to be beilas mitzvah, and here we have three interpretations of why. One interpretation is that you cannot begin shivas yemei hamishta without the beilas mitzvah. That clinches the simcha. Tosus asks the question: why does that clinch the simcha? Chazal tell us that she will not become pregnant and fulfill the mitzvah period from Be'ila Rishona, but nevertheless, al yidei kach nasa kli, she becomes a kli in midbach ba and bayim yidei period of. So that's the Be'ilas mitzvah. Other mafarshim say that ubol Be'ilas mitzvah is not a requirement, it's just a heter. And since it's before Kvura, we're in the state of Aninus, and this reflects the Rambam Shita that there's no Yisr Tashra Mit or any Yisr Abel before Kvura. And the third approach is that we need what's called a chupa ruya lebia, and even if we accept the Ramban Shita, that Isurei Avelus begin with Misa, meaning an One is prohibited in all the Isurim of an Ovel, including Tashrish HaMita, nevertheless, we're going to have to allow Tashrish HaMita in this case in order to achieve our goal of setting up a Nisuin, and therefore Simchas Chas v'kala, because otherwise, if you don't allow the Be'ila, you're going to have what's called a Chupa She'ena Ru'uy Labi'ah. And that's the famous sugya called Chupas Nida, and the Machlokas Rishonim, where the Chupas Nida itself is Chal, or it's not Chal, and that's a very, very famous sugya. Now, a few points in this sugya. Number one, the Gemara assumes that Shivas Yimei HaMishteh will push off Shivas Yimei Avelus. That means that you're going to have to count at the end of the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh a full Shivas Yimei Avelus. And that itself is not so poshut, because we have a halacha that if he was kover as meso beregel, then he begins counting Shivas Yimei Avelus with the last day of Yontif in Chutz Loretz, which is called Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. And the reason for that is because since that Chiyuv Simcha is only Midrabanan, we can count it as part of the Shivas Yimei Avelus. Why don't we apply the same logic here to the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, which are only Derabban? Then we have another kasha here in the sugya of the Gaonim. The Gaonim hold that the first day of Avelus is Doraisa. How can we push off the first day of Avelus, Doraisa, for the sake of Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, which is only Derabban? And here we have to apparently activate the principle of Yesh Koch B'yad Chachomim Lakar Dovim in HaTorah. In addition to that, we have another fascinating issue as to whether or not there is an element of a Kiyum Doraisa in Shivas Yimei HaMishteh. It's called Yom Chasunos or Yom Simchas Libo. It's a pasuk in Tanakh in Shir Shirim. And the first day of the Shivas Yomim is considered a Kiyum Doraisa of Simcha. And it parallels the pasuk in Tanakh of Achrisa Yomar, which the Gaonim say is the first day of Avelus, which is Doraisa. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to rush the chassan kala into the chuppah. We're going to begin the shivas yemei hamishteh, postpone the shivas yemei avelus until the termination of the shivas yemei hamishteh. We're going to gain two things. Number one, we're going to allow the marriage to take place immediately. And number two, we're going to salvage this seudah, which otherwise would be lost. And now, the whole sugya here on Daf Dalet, from the beginning of the Daf until the end, is going to establish under what conditions do we have to postpone the kvura and the shivas yimei avelus in order to salvage this seudah. And basically, just to give you like a little bit of a background or an overview to the sugya, it seems that, at least at the time of Chazal, there was only one individual who took upon himself the responsibility of setting up the seudah. And without him, the seudah just will not take place. It's either him or bust. Who's that?
Father of the chasm.
Exactly, the father of the chasm. The Gemara doesn't go into detail as to why the father of the chasm is the one who single-handedly takes it upon himself to put together this seudah. There's another dimension to this simcha, and that is the tamruke hakala, which are the cosmetics that beautify the kala. That was a long, tedious procedure that took place over the course of a year. And there was, again, only one individual on the face of the earth who took upon herself the responsibility to organize the Tamruke HaKal. And who was that?
The mother of the
Kal. If either of those two individuals are removed from the scene, depending upon what preparation was done already. So, for example, if the father of the chasen dies after the preparations that were done for the Suda have reached the point of irreversibility, which means that they pour the water over the meat in such a way that it can no longer be preserved for a longer period of time, then in such a case, we're going to allow rushing the wedding in order to salvage that Suda's chasen v'kal. In the case of the Tamruke HaKala, if all the cosmetics were prepared over the course of this long period of time, and now the mother of the Kala dies, there's no way of salvaging these cosmetics, then we're going to urge the wedding to take place immediately, we're going to initiate the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, and we're going to postpone the Shivas Yimei HaVeilus. Now, I want to ask you the following question. In terms of the relationship between Avelus and Simcha, or Avelus and Regel, the classical case of Simcha is Regel, we have basically two scenarios. We have a scenario in which he started his Avelus, the Kvura took place on Erev Yontif, and now with the initiation of Yontif, I don't know if that's the right word.
The onset of Yontif,
excellent, that's a better word. We completely undermine Avelus. Regel is mevatel shiva. Then we have another case where regel already began and the misa took place during the regel, and on Chol HaMoed we bury the dead. In such a case, the regel doesn't have the power to be mevatel the avelus, but only to postpone the avelus. And the avelus is completely intact as a 7-day period of avelus that will begin at the culmination of the termination of the regel. Now, in both of these scenarios, we can ask the following question. What happens to the laws of Avelus? Are they A, completely gone, or B, are they only held in suspension, but yet the laws of Avelus still apply? So the halacha goes like this. That hakover meso beregel, if a person buries his dead during the regel, and now the avelus is pushed off until after the regel, is noe dvarim shebitzino. This is going to be based on a statement of Rabbi Yochanan here in Ksuvas Daf Dalet, which also appears in Masechta Mo'ikot. What does that mean, noeg avelus bedvarim shebitzino? Now, I would have told you that if he was kover meso beregel, there is no avelus. And I'll prove it to you, because the entire package deal of 7 days of avelus is being postponed until after the regel. It's not as if the regel itself is a partial kiyum of avelus. The regel itself is a day of simcha, which doesn't tolerate avelus. So the avelus has to be postponed, it has to be pushed off. In a case where he already buried his dead before the regel completely undermines avelus. So why not say that in the case of Kover Meso Beregel, The regular yeast has the power of completely undermining Avelus until we begin Avelus as a full-fledged package deal of 7 days after the regular. And yet, paradoxically, Rabbi Yochanan establishes Noeg Dvarim Shebitzina Barekah. And based on this halacha from Yochanan, the Gemara establishes that even in a case of Meis Aviv Shel Chas or Ima Shel Kala, and we have to urgently push this Nesu'in in such a way that we postpone the days of Avelus, nevertheless, during the days of Simcha, the Chasan lives with the men and the Kala lives with the women. In other words, we separate them totally. We'll see a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashi exactly what the nature of that separation is. Does it only apply during the daytime hours or even in the nighttime hours? Do we need a shmira both for the chasan and for the kala? We're going to have all sorts of nuances of machlokas in about that. But fundamentally, mazel tov, in principle, what we're saying is that there's no heter bia, there's no heter tashmish during the Shivas Yimei Ash Simcha. It's a very paradoxical situation here. This couple just got married. They're commemorating 7 days of Simcha with a Suda every day with Sheva Brachas. He's not allowed to go to work. And yet, they cannot consummate the marriage. Well, I shouldn't say that. They had the consummation of the marriage before the Kvura. That took place, Baal Bilas Mitzvah, but then Uporesh, Vahu Yoshen Bein HaNashim, Vahi Yoshen Bein HaNashim, they're completely separated for 7 days. And the Gemara says that this is all based on the principle of Rabbi Yochanan, that HaKover Meso Beregel is Noagin Dvarim Shebitzina. That even though during the Regel there is no Shivas Yimei Avelus, the Shivas Yimei Avelus is going to be lifted and set down after the termination of the Regel, just like here in our Suya, we're going to take the Shivas Yimei Avelus and we're only going to begin them after the Shivas Yimei Simcha. Nevertheless, during the days of Simcha, is knowing Dvarim Shebitzina. What's Dvarim Shebitzina? So here too we have machlokas. But for our purposes, we don't need a machlokas because everybody agrees that at the barest minimal, Dvarim Shebitzina means Tashmish Amita. The question is whether we go beyond that to Rechitza, and possibly even to Nilas Asando. That's a big plugta amongst the Rishonim, but that's not no get to us. What's relevant to us is that there's an Isur Tashmish Amita that applies during the 7 days of Mishnah, the 7 days of Simcha, and that parallels the Isur Tashmish Amita that applies in the case of Kover Meso Berega. So imagine on the second day of Yontif here in Eretz Yisrael, we still have 6 days of Yontif in front of us, correct? Or in the case of Sukkot, we have even more than 6 days because we still have Shmini Atzeres. And they buried the dead on the second day of Sukkot, which is in Eretz Yisrael, that's already Chol HaMoed. So they buried the dead. For a full week, there's no Heter Tashmish Hamita. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg.
It can't be Avedis. Because there's another week of Avedis after that.
Correct. That's exactly my question.
Masha Ein Kein on Shabbos.
Oh, excellent. So that's going to be the Shitas HaRama. But before we introduce the Shitas HaRamban, and almost all the Rishonim, and it's Oiske Paskin, Shimpei Beis, and Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, is that Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg during the Regel, and there's no Heter Bia for the entire week, even though there's no Avelus. The Avelus is only going to be the onset of Avelus, to use Max's term, is only after Shmini Atzeres. Very strange. The Rambam finds this intolerable. He cannot begin to understand a vestige of an Isur Avelus when there is no Avelus. You're not even counting the Minyan Shiva. So the only answer I could give you, and again, it's very technical, and I'd love to see if we can add a little bit of svara to it, is the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, what do you do when you have a clash between two mitzvahs that are antithetical and mutually exclusive? One is Simcha, and that's Regel, v'samata v'chagecha, and the other is Avelus, which means grief, mourning, and anguish. How do you reconcile the two? And the Gemara says there's no way of reconciling the two. One mitzvah has to give way, has to kowtow to the other. but give me a standard. Tell me which mitzvah should bow aside for the sake of the other mitzvah. And the Gemara says the following. Regel is a simcha derabim. It's a mitzvah that's incumbent on the entire Jewish community. Avelus, as great of a mitzvah it is, it's only in a mitzvah diyachid. Lo yavo esei diyachid v'yidche esei derabim. That's the Gemara Mikot and Yudalad Amid Beis. One thing you see from this Gemara, again, there are many things that have to be understood and analyzed, but one thing is clear, that the Gemara understands that this hakhasha, this stira between avelus and simcha somehow impacts on the rabbim. And when the rabbim gather together to rejoice, besimcha, because the Torah says, "Samachta b'chagecha," the avelus of the yachid does not have the power to undermine, to impinge, or to in any way lower the level of that simcha of the mitzvah simcha derabbim. However, perhaps we can add, in the light of Rabbi Yochanan, the following stipulation. What do you say?
Where it doesn't affect the simple.
Correct. When it's Dvar Shemfire, I understand that a public expression of Avelus is going to undermine the Simcha Derabim. But if it's something that takes place in private, in the privacy of one's own home, that's called Dvar Shemitzina, that doesn't have to undermine the Avelus of the Rabbim. But that itself is not enough. We're going to have to go a step further. We're going to have to suggest that there are two different demons in Avelus. One is what we call Minyan Shiva, or Malos. We have a counting of 7 days of Avelus as an entity. And another is the din of the Gavra and the shame of it. I'll give you an example. It could very well be that according to the Rabban, an Onen is an Avel. Haraya, all the Suri Avelus apply to an Onen. And yet, the day of Haninus is not all the Minyan Shiva. So what is it? How could you call somebody an Avel, and yet, despite all the Yisurim that you impose upon him, and he has to enjoin himself from 11 different pleasures in life as an Avel, but nevertheless, he's not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Avelus. Because the Avelus is only going to begin after Kfura, which might be the next day, and then we're going to kick off a 7-day period. So the Aninus, which has within it Avelus according to Rabban, is not all the Minyan Shiva. And the answer is because Minyan Shiva is a whole different halacha. There are two parts to Avelus. One part to Avelus is what we call Isurim. The other part to Avelus is a cue. The Rambam opens up Hilchas Avelus by saying, Mitzvah is Avel al Krovov. You see that the Rambam defined Avelus, and this is so paradoxical, as a mitzvah. You and I would have said that Avelus is nothing more than a compilation, an enumeration of Isurim. 11 different Isurim. He's also B'tashvash Amita, he's also B'nilas Asando, B'sicha, B'rchitza, etc., etc. Nay, the Rambam says that there's a positive command to be an Avel. When we define the mitzvah Avelus as a positive mitzvah, for that we need a kium of malos of Shivas Yamin. But we have another dimension to Avelus, and that might be an Iser Avel, insofar as the Gavra is an Avel, even without the Kiyum of Avelus, even if it's not all the Minyan Shiva. And that could be Anidus according to the Ramban. And by the way, Anidus d'Oraisa means that he's enjoined from eating Basar on a d'Oraisa level, at least Basar Kachim and Shtias Yayin. He cannot send his karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. These are all Isurei Avel. He's not yet ready to be Mekayim as Avelus. Because even the Ramban, who imposes upon the Onen Isurei Avelus, he's not ready to allow for a mitzvah saseh of Avelus to be incumbent upon this Onen. Because until the Kfura takes place, the Onen has only one mitzvah. That mitzvah is all-encompassing, overwhelming. And that is what? Kfura. There's no room for any other mitzvah. Is the mitzvah of Avelus is definitely going to be postponed until after Kfura. And therefore the Shivas Yimei Malos Avelus will only begin after Kfura. And yet, there are Isurei Onei that begin before the mitzvah Saseh. That's already a different halacha. That means the Gavra is called an Avel. It's Hachriso Ki Omar. He's enjoined from certain activities, even though he's not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Avelus. And a similar thing, I think, we're finding here in Rabbi Yochanan with regard to Dvarim Shevitzina. Dvarim Shevitzina on Nagim during the Shivas Yimei HaMishten, our Sugya, or in the Sugya in Moed Katan during the Shivas Yimei HaRegel. It's Regel. We're not going to count any mitzvah of Avelus because our mitzvah is the mitzvah of Simcha. But nevertheless, Vidvarim Shevitzina, we're still going to impose on the Ovid, Isurei Ovid. And it's the most phenomenal, complicated, shall I say, halachic structure that I think exists in the whole universe of halacha. On the one hand, the mitzvah is simcha. And on the other hand, the gavra is an ovel. If the gavra wasn't an ovel, how could you enjoin the gavra from Tashma Shamita, from Dvarim Shevitzina? But yet, in terms of kimei mitzvah concern, the gavra has only one mitzvah. And that mitzvah is simcha, which completely excludes the mitzvah of avelus. There's no room for the mitzvah of simcha, the mitzvah of avelus, to be chal simultaneously b'kfifa achas. Is ein shnei advar meilu darim b'kfifa achas. But now I want to ask you a different question, Rav Mosai. Let's grant that during regel there's avelus to the extent of Dvarim Shevitzina. Let's talk about Shivas Yimei HaMishten, our Sugya on Daf Dalid, and we're going to talk about Dvarim Shevitzina. Well, a man and a woman are married together, and they are enjoined from having relations. Does she have to pack out of the house and live with the ladies? Does he have to pack out of the house and live with the men?
Doesn't really sound like a Dvarim Shevitzina thing.
Even in Dvarim Shevitzina, I'll give you an example. A woman is in need. So what happens? She has to pack out, or he has to pack out. They can't live in the same house.
You trust them.
You trust them? But what about the Isur Yichud? It's interesting. Every single erva, with one exception, engenders an Isur Yichud. A man is not allowed to be alone in a private place with a woman who's an erva, with only one exception. I can give you a long list of arayas. And on that list is Nida. But I'm going to take Nida off the list in the case of a married couple.
Suga Bashoshanim.
And I'm going to allow them to live together with no Shomrim whatsoever. And all of a sudden, Rav Hosai, a man is allowed to be with his wife alone in a private place. She's a Nida, she's an Erva. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you that for the sake of Avelus, where there's an Isur Tashma Shamita, not only are they enjoined with an Isur Yichud, that's bad enough, because that Isur Yichud I can resolve by having another person in the room. No, she's got to live with the Nashim, and he's got to live with the Anashim. And the paradox here is that Ribono Shalom, if in Hilchas Nida, which is the most Chor Dikar Isa, you're talking about an Isa Karis and Isa Erva, we allow them to live together. There's no one around, there's no one looking, there's no video cameras, no batif. You know, the big shaila today is if a woman works in a governmental office and she stays overtime, she gets paid double for overtime, especially in the summertime in America, because, you know, in the governmental offices, you know, you can't find anyone to work there, so they pay these frum women to stay overtime. They get double pay, and they support their whole husband. And the problem is that the boss is still there. So the post can want to be making because it's closed circuit television. You know, so we're going to, in the case of a married couple, she's a Nida. We don't even require closed circuit television, and that's an Issa Chomer of Nida. But for the sake of Avelus, all of a sudden, Nefcha Akar Al Pia, and the halacha becomes very harsh and very demanding. Who Yoshev Ben Anoshev, and Yishen Ben Anoshev.
It's not true about Avelus in general. But it's not true that, in other words, we don't require that separation in general, Avelus.
But Aaron, ask me a previous question. Is there a case where even a married couple who's a ni and she's a nida, we will require who yashim ben hanoshim and he yashim ben hanoshim? There is such a case.
Besides this one?
Lo balu be'ila rishon. It's a fascinating question. And it comes up Rav Mosai all too often. It's too frequent, especially in contemporary life. You know, back in the old days, in the little shtetlach, you know, they waited till a woman went to mikvah, and then they had the wedding. You know, they took a week to prepare the wedding. You know, so they didn't have fancy invitations, they didn't pay for halls, you know, everything was fine. But today, you know, they set up the wedding, you know, 3 months, if not a year in advance, and how do you know she's not going to be a nida? And the law becomes very strict. in the case of a husband and wife who've never consummated their marriage, and she becomes a nida, is hu yoshin bein hanoshim v'hi yishen bein hanoshim. This halach applies.
Here they have to be a rishana.
Oh, so the question is, how do we view avelus? Do we view the case of avelus as being very lenient? Because at the end of the day, we're only talking about dvarim shebitzinah, which are knowing even before the key of mitzvahs avelus as a separate iser gavra diavel. And therefore, in the worst case scenario, chas v'sholom, they violated iser avelus. And therefore we should be more mekil? Or do we say the opposite? Paradoxically, because the Iser is so light, and people might be mezalzel in that Iser, we should be even more machmir, and we should bring it up, jack it up to the most chumradika separation between a husband and a wife, that of lo balu be'ila rishona, and we're going to say that even though they had be'ila rishona, we're going to be more machmir to them in the top of the line as far as chumras yichud with regard to a married couple is going to be hu yashen v'hi yashena, and that's going to apply in the case of avelus. That, my friends Rabosai, is the introduction to this sugya that we're about to embark upon, and the question is going to be a fascinating one. Would it make a difference who's in avelus, whether she's in avelus or whether he's in avelus? And another issue that's going to come up here is the question is, does this requirement of Bein HaNoshim, Bein HaNoshim apply both by day and by night? Some Rishonim want to say, the Rosh, that it only applies by day. And the Rashba wants to say it only applies by night. Where is your sentiment, Rabosai? Where? By night, no? Would you say that we should be more machmir at night? And the Rosh says, on the contrary, the Yetzer Hara gets more profound by the day because you have the element of sight. Again, today, I don't know, we have lights.
You have another halacha of not having beard during the day.
I don't know, somehow that doesn't play much of a role here. Listen. Yeah, it's a mafil betalisa, whatever it might be. Now, another issue that comes up here is the Shach. The Shach wants to say that this entire episode, this whole sugya here at Avdalid, is no longer relevant l'halacha. Back in the day, it was the father of the chassan exclusively who took care of the suda. Today, the minig is that there's always someone who's going to take it upon himself to make the suda. And the same is true for the Ima Shel Kala. It's not like it was then. And there are those women who will take it upon themselves to see to it that the Kala is very well provided for as far as her makeup and her cosmetics are concerned. Therefore, says the Shach, we go back to Ikar Adin. The father of the chassan died. The immediate urgent mitzvah is kfura. We cannot delay kfura. And following in the footsteps of kfura is going to be avelus. Postpone the Shiva Siman Mishnah. Swallow the pill, the loss of the Suda. There'll be someone else to replace the Suda. And therefore, this whole sugya, says the Shach, no longer applies halakha l'maisa. However, Rabosai, we're going to see that even if that dimension of the sugya, namely that first we start with Shiva Simei HaMishnah and only then with Shiva Simei HaAvelus, that's suspended halakha l'maisa. There are many other dimensions of the sugya which are still relevant halakha l'maisa in establishing the basic halakhas of Avelus, of Shiva Simei HaMishnah, of the Iser Yichud between the two, while one of them is in Avelus. And therefore, this sugya is very, very much relevant.
L'halacha l'maisa. Can I ask, what is the category, halacha category of the cosmetics overriding?
So the law is that cosmetics is something that on the one hand is integral to the mitzvah of simcha, but on the other hand is antithetical to the mitzvah of Avelus. Now what do we have here? We have a situation in which because the father of the chassan died or the mother of the kala, we have to immediately begin with Shiva Simei HaMishnah. However, during this period of time, after the kvura, Dvarim Shebitzinah Noik, what happens with cosmetics? So the truth of the matter is, if you would have asked me, I would have said it all depends whether you're talking about before the end of Shiva or after the end of Shiva. Because after the end of Shiva, we have another period of Avelus called what?
Shloshim.
With regard to Shloshim, I can see the halacha bending in a very accommodating way to make sure that a woman looks beautiful for her husband. And the halacha is very sensitive to that. But during Shiva itself, the halacha becomes very, very tough. And Rashi wants to suggest here on Daf Dalet in Masechet Ksubos that we can only be lenient with regard to a kala, with regard to shloshim, but we cannot look aside when it comes to the Iser of Shiva. And we're going to soon see that this statement of Rashi engendered a certain revolution. All the Rishonim stood up in rebellion against Rashi. I feel bad for Rashi. And they all insisted that this heter of Tamruke Akala is going to apply not only during Shloshim, but even during Shiva itself. And that's a fascinating machlokas.
Is that for Hesia Shiva?
No, I don't think it's relevant to Farhesia, as far as I know. Okay, now remember, remember that I told you before that the issue is, do we separate the chasam kala even during the day? So I just want to read to you the language of the Rush. The Rush says that
they can be together at night.
That's how I wanted to read to you the language of the Rush. The Rush says the following. We'll start with the first sheet. I mistakenly identified the first sheet as the Rashba. I think I may have said the Rashba. It's not the Rashba, it's the Rush in the name of the Ravid. And the Rush quotes the Ravid as saying the following 2 points. Number one, Shneihem Tzrichim Shivur. Hu Tzarech Shimur Al Yideze Sheyoshem Bein HaNoshim. He tzricha shimur al yidei sheyishen bein hanoshim. The old cause of arrived. Hu yashen mashma she'eno os asurim biyichud el balayla. Avol biyom mutarim biyichud. That's why I always tell my students who are dating that they should go out during the day. Daytime dating is a lot easier than nighttime dating. Because inevitably, in nighttime dating, you get involved in isurim and issues of yichud. You know, like in America, for example, this is probably true all over the world. You bring a girl home at 1 a.m. after a long date, and what inevitably happens is they sit in the car for hours, schmoozing. So by the time she gets, you know, and she, so if the mother is watching from the top, you know, like, you know, what's going on over there? So that might remove the Issa Yichud, I don't know. But if the mother finally gave up at 3 in the morning and she went to sleep, you know, you have real serious issues of Yichud. Not only that, sometimes when you bring a girl home at the end of a date, you drive up a driveway, it's like a half a mile until you get to the house.
I'm in New York.
What? Not in New York so much.
Maybe New York.
Oh, maybe in New York. No, but I'm saying in Georgia or in Texas, right? Isn't it so? You know, in Muncie, New York, for example. I remember I took a girl home in Muncie. Again, it wasn't worth it. I mean, it took me 2 hours to find a house, you know, in each direction. But I wasn't for the greatest drivers, you know. I didn't know Muncie from Beans. But, you know, it took me like 15 minutes to finally find a house from the street itself. You know, there are a lot of serious issues in Yichud. Daytime dating is usually much healthier because you're always in a public place. I mean, that's not always true, but I'm saying in general. So the Rush disagrees with the Raven on 2 counts. First of all, Kasav, the Ain't Tzarech Shneihem Shimur. There's no need to have a double Shmira to double up on the Shmira. Eladai B'Shimur Li'echad Mehem. Because the whole point is to do a Maisa Shmira. Why do we have to do a Shmira double time? The Ode, Cholek harush al arayvid v'sover shasurim biyichud af biyom. Oh, this is the answer to your question. Af biyom. V'taima shasvar no senes shebayom yeser yoser chash shivalena. More of a chash during the day. V'fishal amaris ha'ayin hayetzav isgal. It's very strange. I'd love to, you know, I don't have the time now to research this and see if in the Hilchas Yichud this kind of approach to the Rosh reverberates throughout the halachas. But let's now read through the Sugya Daf Dalet. You know, after all is said and done, you know, I gave you a half hour introduction. Now let's plow through the Sugya. The Gemara says, "Uboel bi las mitzvah uporesh," that in this case we have to urgently set up the Shivas Yimei HaMishta by bringing the Chasen Kala into the Chuppah, and it's got to be consummated with Be'ilas Mitzvah. Again, we gave various interpretations as to what that means. And then, V'noeg Shivas Yimei HaMishta V'achakach, I'm going to use this one because it's a little larger for my eyes, V'achakach Noeg Shivas Yimei Aves. So far, so good. V'chol osam hayomim during this Shivas Yimei HaMishta hu yashen bein ha'noshim v'hi yashen bein ha'noshim. What about the tamrukim and the tachshitim? Tachshitim here, by the way, don't misunderstand, does not mean jewelry. Tachshitim means kishutim. Rashi says tamrukim. Eimonim, v'eimonim tachshitim in akala kol shloshim yom, for 30 days. Now, what does that mean, kol shloshim yom? So if you'll take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, kol shloshim yom, afal pi shehem yimei avelus l'shar b'nei adam, is v'kol shkemi shloshim v'elech? So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, understand that Rashi interpreted the word Shloshim here, called Shloshim Yom, as referring to the halachic concept of Shloshim. We're not talking about a 30-day period that begins with the Kfuras HaMes, tick off, count off 30 days, but rather we're talking about the concept of Avelus of Shloshim. And Rashi would allow for Tamruke Noshim, for the sake of the Kala, during Shloshim, but not during Shiva. And the Rishonim say that they cannot tolerate this Rashi. It cannot be correct. And why is that? Because the Gemara itself in Masechta Moed Katan establishes that a Kala lav dafka, that any married woman whatsoever is allowed to engage in cosmetics during Shloshim of Avelus.
Is this talking about like the Chassan's father dying or her mother dying?
Either way, it doesn't matter one way or the other, because in either case we're going to rush the Chassan Kala to the Chuppah, and we're going to, well,
because she doesn't have,
well, 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 oh, you're right. Oh, I hear what you're saying. If it's his father who died,
who cares,
yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit.
Yeah, in the case where her mother died and now she's in Avelus, according to Rashi, we're going to look aside as far as her Shloshim period is concerned and allow Tamruke Noshim. So the Rishonim say that that's not so, because the halacha that a woman who's in Avelus is allowed to faputz herself applies any marriage. The couple could be married for 50 years, and nevertheless, when she becomes an Avel, an Avela, right, she's allowed to engage in these cosmetics during Shloshim. What's the Chiddush, therefore? Here, this Bryce is telling us that because they just got married, in the context of their new marriage that's getting off the ground, we're going to allow her to be Mater Avelus as far as Tamruke Noshim is concerned. So all the Rishonim say that the word Shloshim here in this Gemara does not refer to the halachic period of Avelus called Shloshim, but rather to the 30-day period of time that begins with the Kfuras HaMes, which by definition therefore includes also Shiva. And even during Shiva, in this particular case, we're going to be Matir Tamruke Noshim. Comes out like this, that in a regular context of marriage, Shiva overrides the Shemi Yizgan Al Baila situation. And we can only be Mekil Shemi Yizgan Al Baila from the end of Shiva and on during the Shloshim, and how much more so after Shloshim in the case of a parent. But for the sake of a brand new marriage, we're going to allow even during Shiva, according to Rishonim, Tamruke Noshim.
So, Rabbi, if I can ask,
yeah,
the same distinction we made, that the case where it's giving the heter for makeup during Shiva, yeah, is only in the case where her mother died, because it wouldn't really make so much sense for the husband's father dying. Right. Why can't we say the same thing about earlier, where that he would only sleep with the men and she would only sleep with the women in their own respective cases, that there really isn't a double shmira? Why can't we say that, you know...
Again, it depends. If you're going with the Ravid Shita, the Ravid says that you read this Brisa literally. And the Brisa says, Hu Yashen Ben Anoshim, He Yashen Ben Anoshim, and that's an absolute rule, that you need a double Shmira.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may be able to convince the men to look aside and allow him to do whatever he wants to do, but he can't convince the women, and vice versa. So to create this double Shmira, the Ravid says, they insisted on being machmir avelus more than a nida, as we said before, and requiring a double shmir. Speak a drop louder.
Bosa nedem in the ayin needs to be double wrapped.
Right, double wrapped. Very good. Then the Gemara says, "V'dafka aviv shel chasan, o ima shel kala, deleka inish detarach luhu." There's no one to replace them. Once the tachshitim were prepared, if the mother of the kala is gone, no one's going to prepare the tachshitim. Once the food for the suda was prepared by the father of the chasan, after he goes, there's no repetition. There's no replacement. Aval ipcha, but if the mother of the chasan died or the father of the kala, lo, then we're going to immediately bury the dead and begin Shivas Yimei Avelus and postpone the Nisuin until after the Shivas Yimei Avelus. Now, on this question, when exactly the chuppah is going to take place, this is already a gigantic, gigantic sugya. And basically, the Rishonim fit into three or four different groups. You know, some allow the marriage to take place immediately after Shiva, even though we're entering into a period of Shloshim. But since he was not Mekayim in the midst of period of Arivya, then for the sake of period of Arivya, you're going to allow being Mekil on Shloshim. Others are going to say, you know, we're going to have to wait until after Shloshim. And some are going to say, we're going to have to wait till after the entire year of 12 months. So it really fits in to all the possible scenarios that you could imagine. But Rabosai, I had wanted to mention to you before a Rambam, and now I forgot which Rambam. Oh, yeah, Daniel's Rambam. So Rabbi Yochanan says that if you bury the dead during the regel, then Dvarim Shebitzina on Noheg, even though there's no Shivas Yimei Avelus until after the regel. The Rambam can't tolerate that. The Rambam says Rabbi Yochanan never said it and never meant it. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Dvarim Shebitzina not on Yontif, but on Shabbos. Shabbos is fundamentally different than Yom Tov with regard to Avelus, and it's paradoxical. Usually we assume that Shabbos is more chomer than Yom Tov. Shabbos is an Isur Misa, Yom Tov is also Isur Lav. But with regard to Simcha, Yom Tov plays the primary role. Shabbos takes a back seat. Of course, the Chassidim say Yismachu Malchuscha even on Shabbos. Okay, they want to elevate Shabbos to a level of Simcha. But the Litvakis, for example, don't mention Simcha on Shabbos, except in Musaf. That has to do with the nature of a karbon and what it means to bring a karbon on Shabbos. But be that as it may, Shabbos is a mitzvah of Oneg, not a mitzvah of Simcha. The mitzvah of Oneg is not totally antithetical to Avelus. In fact, every single Shiva is comprised of one day of Shabbos. Shabbos is Ol Minyan Shiva. Regel is never Ol Minyan Shiva. If it was Regel before he buried the dead, then in such a case we're going to postpone the Avelus until after the Regel. And if, on the other hand, he buried the dead and then it was Regel, the entire Avelus is gone. But there's no such thing as an overlap between a day of Regel and a day of Avelus. Again, with the exception of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. And the reason for that is because a day that's imbued with the mitzvah of Simcha is antithetical to the mitzvah of Avelus. And both the twain shall never overlap. Mashenken, in the case of Shabbos, and this is the Shittas of Rambam, Shabbos can become a day of Avelus. The only problem is that we can't allow him to prav Avelus in such a way that it'll undermine the Kedusha of Shabbos. But as far as any kind of vestige of Avelus on Shabbos, which will not impinge or undermine on the spirit of Shabbos, all that is, he has to be Mekayim, and not only as an Iser, but even as a Kiyum Avelus, the Nafkamina being that now it's going to be Ol Eliminyan Shiva. Now, if this be the case, Rabosai, our Sugya is going to be a major problem for the Rambam. Because our Sugya, based on Rabbi Yochanan, is going to say that during the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, he, the chassan, is knowing Dvarim Shebitzina, he and she. Why is that so? It's days of Simcha. According to the Ramban, who says that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to Yontif itself, and Yontif, even though it's not Olam Inyan Shiva Simei Avelus, nevertheless, it enjoins him from Dvarim Shemitzin and Nicha. Now we understand during the Shiva Simei Mishnah why, who Yoshev Ben Anoshim and he Yoshev Ben Anoshim, but according to the Ramban, who denies that during the day of Regel, you could possibly have any vestige of Avelus whatsoever, and there's no Yisid Dvarim Shemitzin according to Ramban on Regel, because it's a day of Simcha, is when Bela, why is Shiva Simei Mishnah any different than a Regel? And the whole premise of the sugya is based on a tushtel, on a comparison between Shiva Simei Mishnah and Shiva Simei HaRegel.
The difference is Simcha Sarabim, and this remains a personal Simcha. The Chasen and Kala are enjoying it together, that's personal.
But again, what we're saying is, according to the Rambam, you have to ask yourself the following question. Is this day Olam Inyan Shiva, or is it not Olam Inyan Shiva? If your answer is that it's Olam Inyan Shiva, then you can have a Niyug Avilus. Because then it means that the Torah is commanding you in the midst of Avilus. If on the other hand it's not Olam Inyan Shiva, then by definition the Rambam says you can't have any vestige of Avilus. Meaning, the Rambam never recognized this whole concept of Dvarim Shemitzinah as a separate Gavra Shem Avil with an Isar Avil and so forth and so on. In the Rambam's frame of reference, it's Mimonavshach. It's either all or nothing. There's no half measures over here. If you're telling me it's Olam Inyan Shiva, Nicha. If it's not Olam Inyan Shiva, then it's not Avelus at all. It's Simcha. If the day is endowed with Simcha, and therefore can't be a day of Avelus, don't talk to me, says the Rambam, about an Isra Avel. Even Dvarim Shemitzinah.
It's a different Simcha. It's not the Simcha of the Yontif.
Ah, maybe it's a different Doraisa and Drabbanah. Is that what you mean?
Well, you can go there if you like. But the character of the simcha is different. This is a personal simcha. The other is simcha's klal yisrael. The problem of avelus impinging on the simcha of klal yisrael is the issue. There isn't an issue here of impinging on a. That's what the Gemara. That's what you quoted before.
Right.
That's the Gemara in Ma'akan. That's why it doesn't.
So again, but Aaron, the only question I have on your thesis, it's a brilliant thesis, is why isn't it Olam Inyan Avelus? That's the only thing. Because the Rambam is always arguing with the Rabban and he's saying that if you have some sort of vestige of Avelus in this day, then it has to be Olam Inyan Shiva.
When we spoke about Aninus,
Oh, you want to do me a favor? Add some hot water here because it's totally. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
He's
a big tzaddik. Okay?
I'm not sure how this applied, but when we were discussing a few weeks ago, Aninus, there were enough committing some who's Isaac, maybe some who's not, there was an Indian of one, I can't remember, there's a mandam that says, you're not Negavavus in Aninus, the Patashmit is the Nisa.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's the Marat's Gaius. Yeah, the Marat's Gaius wants to say that even according to the Rambam,
right.
who holds that there's no Avelus during Aninus, but nevertheless it's still an Issa Tashra Mita because it's a Maisa Simcha. Right?
So you're just saying Sora here.
That what?
That even though on Yom Tov, if you hold at the Rambam, that there's... I feel
Dvarim Shemitzinah
doesn't apply, but Tashmis applies.
But Tashmis is Simcha, maybe. It's a kumvase. In other words, you can't violate the Avelus for kumvase. But the question again always comes back to, is there such a thing as Avelus without Shiva Simei Avelus? Okay. So that's how I wanted to add to that discussion. Omar Rafram Bar Papa Omar Rav Chizda. This Gemara is very sociological. The Gemara says the following: Lo Shanu Elishan Nasan Mayim Al Gavi Basar. If they already submerged the meat into water and that speeds up the process of it
deteriorating,
right? It's lost.
The wedding's gonna happen quickly. The wedding
has to happen quickly. Avalo Nasan Mayim Al Gavi Basar is Davin. You could always sell it. And there's no hefsid moment, and the Rishonim learned from this sugya that there's a double condition here in order to allow that the Shiva Simei Mishnah come first. Number one, there's got to be a hefsid moment, and number two, it's got to be an irreplaceable loss to the Suda. So here, even though he might be able to sell the basar because he hasn't yet submerged it in water, he hasn't watered it down yet, and therefore he can cut down his financial losses, but nevertheless the father of the chassan is gone, who's going to put together the suda for him? And it's not just a question of signing the check, it's also a question of tircha. Again, in our society, we're not familiar with this. You know, a check buys everything. You know, if you write the check, you know, somebody will prepare the suda. But it wasn't that way back in the day. So you need two conditions. Number one, it's got to be hefseid mamon. And number two, it's got to be hefseid hasu'uda. Amar Rava ubekrach, in a larger city, it sounds like we're learning already Masechta Megillah, right? Afal pisha nasan mayim al gabi basim is davin. There's so many potential buyers that you can sell it even after you've cut down the time in which it could be preserved. Amar Papa ubekfar, and if it's a very small town, you know, little shtetl, is afal pisha lo nasan mayim al gabi basar. Let's say the meat has a lifespan of a week. Lomas Davin, even within a week, you're not going to find a buyer. Again, all this is sociological in terms of the way, you know, they had possibilities of shipping and not shipping. You know, everything was very limited. So, Frekta Gemara, Elodur Avchizeich Mishkacheslo, you know, you're telling me you either have a kfar or you have a krach. Omer Avashi, there's something in between the two. And that's called Kagomata Machasya. That was the place that Rava lived in, and that was the town. It was called the Beinani. The Mafka Mikrachu Mafka Mikrokfar. You know, it's not within the bounds or the, shall I say, the descriptions of a krach, but it's not to be described as a kfar. And therefore, it all depends upon whether he submerged the meat in water or he hasn't done so. Tanya Kavasa, the Rav Chizda. And I have a proof from a braisa to Rav Chizda that it all depends upon whether we're going to take the loss of the suda or not. Hareisha yapito afuya utivcho tavuach. Excuse me. V'yeno mazug v'nasan mayim al gabi basar. And we've already discussed in the past the machlokas rishonim whether it's all these together or one of those. Mes of Shalchasani Mishalkal Mahdisa Meslacheder, Sachasan Vesakal Chupa, Ubal Vilas Mitsu Parifanoik Shivas Yime Mishvakak Noig, Shivas Yime Avilus. Fine. Vichal Osanayomim, now we're during the Yimea Mishte, Hu Yashin Ben Anosh, Vishto Yeshena Ben Anosh. Says the Bryce of Achen, Misha Pirsa Ishto Nida. Wait a minute, this is not fair. I never heard of such a thing. That if a man's wife is a nida, then she has to live with the women and he with the men. And then we get back to the original point about Tachshitim Eimonim, Tachshitim Nechala, Kol Shloshim Yom. Okay. Now, at this point, the Braisa goes into an entirely different sugya, which those who were with me last Wednesday will remember that we had a long discussion about this. Benkach u'benkach lo yival lo be'erev Shabbos. That the first be'ilah should not take place on Leil Shabbos. This has nothing to do with exactly which night of the week she got married on. You know, whether they had to start the wedding procedures a little bit earlier, or it was on a Wednesday night like the Mishnah formulates. In any event, if they did not consummate the wedding, the marriage, before Leil Shabbos, this is a problem. And Rashi says, because of Chabura, because of one of the various violations of Shabbos, whether it is Meleches Netilas Neshama, or perhaps Meleches Mefare, perhaps Meleches Tzovea. I mean, there are many different possible candidates. V'loba Motzoi Shabbos. Why can't they consummate the marriage Motzoi Shabbos? And this is called the famous Gzeira Sheva Yishchad Ben Of. Which, by the way, my father, may rest in peace, as a Rav, used to suffer from this a lot. You know, the people who... The most popular night for weddings in America, I don't know, again, I can't tell you if it's all over the world, is Motzi Shabbos. And there's serious halachic issues here, where they, you know, the caterers start defrosting the meat on Shabbos. You know, they tell you, oh, we didn't start till after Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And the closer you get towards the summer months, again, in those parts of the world, you know, the more pressure there is on the caterer to make sure that everything is set up. So they start the whole process before Shabbos ends. And you end up with an immense myriad of halachic issues about Isurei Shabbos. And therefore, in this case as well, if the marriage is going to take place with a suda and everything on Motzi Shabbos, there'll be a temptation to start the preparation before Shabbos ends. And frankly speaking, I always thought that was a modern problem in Brooklyn, New York. You know, with anybody who knows the great scholarship of the Jews in Brooklyn, you know, that was it. But it's not so. I mean, even in the times of Chazal, they were so sensitive to this issue. Okay. Omar Mar, let's go back to this brisa. Hu yoshem ben anoshim v'yishena ben anoshim misayel el Rav Yochanan. This is all based on Rav Yochanan. Tiyom Rav Yochanan, this is the girsa of the Ramban. Afal pisha omru ein avelus b'moed. Right, the Rambam has a different girsa. He says ein avelus b'shabbos, but according to our girsa, the Ramban's girsa ein avelus b'moed. So he buried his dead during Chol HaMoed. Aval Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg. There's an Isur of Dvarim Shebitzina. And the Rambam holds that during the Yemei Regel there's no Avelus whatsoever, even as far as Dvarim Shebitzina. The Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara is Afal Pishomu Ein Avelus B'Shabbos Al Dvarim Shebitzina Noeg. Because B'Shabbos there is a Niyug of Avelus Dvarim Shebitzina, because the Gemara establishes Moed Kot and the Shabbos is Ole Leminyan Shiva. However, regel is not all minyan shiva, and therefore there's no dvarim shebitzina during the regel. Regel is completely divorced from any sort of vestige of avelus according to the shitas harambam. And here's where the Ramban and the Ritva and others get up and they say, according to the Rambam, maduim kei noeg avelus betzina b'shivas yimei hamishteh, since these days are not days of Avelus, but rather days of Yontif. They're not all the minyan Avelus. Avelus only begins after the Shivas Yimei HaMishta. How could it be, therefore, that there should be Dvarim Shebitzina during Shivas Yimei HaMishta?
So could the Rambam mean that the Gemara is saying you only separate them for Shabbos, but the rest of the week you have to separate them?
Again, according to the Rambam, on Shabbos there is no Avelus whatsoever. There's no Dvarim Shebitzina, so why would you have to separate them? I lost your back. The whole kasha of the Ramban and the Ritva is that according to the Rambam Lashitoso that there's no Avelus whatsoever on Shabbos. On regular, you're talking about Shabbos.
On Shabbos there is Dvarim Shebitzina, so you'd have to, maybe say you only have to separate them on Shabbos, but the rest of the week you don't, because there's no Dvarim Shebitzina on Moed.
No, but it says Kol Osam Ayom. What does that mean, Kol Osam Ayom?
Yeah, it's like Rambam Kli Shmei.
Dorash Rav Yosef Berei De Rav Mishmei De Rav Lo Shanu Elish Lo Baal. When does the Braisa say that there's an Isa Yichud in the case of a married couple? That's only Shalom Baal. Avol Baal Ishto Yeshena Imo. Once there was a Be'ila, then there's no Isa Yichud. Frank the Gemara, that's not so. V'ahacha de Be'baal Askin. And here the whole point was that Machnisin es achasam es akal l'chupu baal bilis mitzvah porich. So there was Be'ila. If that be the case, what does the Braisa mean? The Uketani, the Braisa nevertheless says, Hu yashen ben anoshim, v'hi yashena ben anoshim, that there's an Isa Yichud, ze im ze, or zu im ze. Kika Omar, we have to go back to the score, to the drawing board. What was the drush of Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef was talking about a case of a married woman who was Pirsan Nida. And he says that, does the Braisa apply the principle of Isur Yichud in such a case, or does it not? Says Rav Yosef, it all depends upon Baal Bila Rishona or Lo Baal Bila Rishona. Before Bila Rishona, there's a very harsh Isur Yichud between the Baal and the Ishto Nida. However, with regard to the case of Avelus, even Rav Yosef would agree that we're going to be very harsh and impose an Isur Yichud, despite the fact that they were Baal Bila Rishona. So the Gemara says, I don't understand how I can justify that within the context of the Braisa, ha v'chein ketani. When the Braisa says, misha pirsa ishtanid, it says v'chein. And the word v'chein implies that the din of pirsa ishtanid is identical with the din of chasan who's an avel, it means that just like a chasan is an avel is also biyichud, even though he was already boel bila rishona, so too in the case of pirsan nida, we're going to have to say that there's an isa yichud even though he is boel bila rishona. And now the Gemara is going to try to embark upon a partial v'chein. We're going to have to take that word v'chein and we're going to have to split it into two. Hachi kamar. This is what the Brisa means. V'chein misha pirsa ishta nida. Is there's a certain similarity between pirsa ishta nida and the case of avelus. In what case? In what scenario? Is viloba. If there was never a bila rishona. And as I said to you before, that's quite common. Hu yashen ben anoshim v'ishta yishena ben anoshim. So that's what the v'chein means. The v'chein doesn't mean to equate straight across the board the din of avelus that requires an isa yichud, imposes an isa yichud with the law of a husband whose wife became a nida. No, that's not so. Just in one case there's v'chein. In pirsa ishto nida v'lo baal bila rishona, there we establish an equation to avelus with an isa yichud. Because in the case of pirsa ishto nida, when they were no lo baal bila rishona, there's a very strong Kifas Yetzer, and therefore we need to be very harsh imposing an Isa Yichud. In the case of Avelus, even though he was Boel Bila Rishona, which is exactly the case that we're dealing with, nevertheless, the Halacha is very demanding imposing an Isa Yichud on the Chasan and the Kala. Apparently, the underlying logic here is that with regard to Nida, a husband, again, assuming they had once consummated the marriage, is much more careful, and even without the strict restrictions of Hu Yashen, etc., he will still be very careful not to violate the Isur Chomer Bienov of Nida. But Avelus is not Chomer Bienov. Avelus is maybe an Isur Drabanan, possibly undermining a Kiyum Doraisa, but it's certainly not anywhere on the state of severity as a nida, and therefore we have to be more, it's like the Gemara says at the beginning of Beitza, that we'll be more machmir and muktzah on Yontif than we are on Shabbos, because osi lizalzule beis will be mezalzel in avelus, it's kilo lemi nida, and that would make logical sense. But the Gemara says, I have halacha that explicitly contradicts this, and this is a Mishnah later on in Masechta Ksubis. The Mishnah wants to know what malachos is a woman who's a nida permitted to do on behalf of her husband. There are certain malachos which are called malachos shel chiba. They involve a certain element of, shall we say, intimacy or romance, and those should be avoided when she's a nida because it might go too far. But on the other hand, the professional malachos like tchina, afia, kibus, bishul, all that is permissible. She's even allowed to prepare the beds if he's not present. We'll see what the halachos are. And she can nurse his children. She can also weave his clothing. All that is considered professional with a certain distance, and we're not afraid that it will lead to any sort of closer relationship and intimacy. Okay? But Amar Rav Yitzchok Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Malacho Sheisha Osa Labayla Nido Osa Labayla Chutz Mimezigas Hakos Hatzas Hamito Bar Chutzas Ponu V'yod V'radlov. There's certain very well defined specific malachos which a nida is not allowed to do for her husband because they involve a certain element of chiba yisera of intimacy, and there was a fear that it might lead to an avera chamura of ishto nida. Amongst that list is mezigas hakos, which means they used to have concentrated wine, and it was a matter of intimacy to pour water into the concentrated wine and extend that cup to the husband. Or, for example, hatsas hamito, which doesn't mean to organize the bed, but it means to set up the bed sheets, and that's considered romantic. Or to wash his face and his feet, meaning she pours the water for him so that he washes his feet in the water. And all these malachos shel chiba are prohibited in the case of ishto nida. Where is your argument that, wait, it's so severe that it's not kal b'einav, it's chavar b'einav, and he wouldn't think, or heaven forbid, of violating the Isser? And fakeret, v'ilu gavi avelus tanya, the Brisa says that in avelus, we can even be more mekil. Afal pisha amru, ein adam rashoi lochuf es ishto lios kocheles, v'lios pokeses. Be'emes amru, mozeges lo kos, umatzas lo mita, umerachetzes lo ponov yodav raglov. All those intimate melachos, shalchiba, which are prohibited during nidus, are permissible during avelus, whether it be mezigas hakos, atzos hamita, merachetzes ponov yodav raglov. So you see just the opposite, that we have to be more machmir in nida because of the nature of the Chumras Havera, and we can be more laid back and be mekil in the case of Havelus because it's a lesser Isur. So on the one hand, you're telling me that with regard to the Isur Yichud, we're mekil in Nida, we're machmir in Havelus. On the other, with regard to Melech HaShalchiba, we're being machmir in Nida, being mekil in Havelus. There's a certain inconsistency over here. Lokasha, the Gemara says, you misunderstood. Kan, in the case of the Brisa, which tells me that we have to be very machmir and avelus ba avelus the day he lost his father.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to soon see that the Gemara is going to have to backtrack because these laws apply even if she lost her mother. But right now, you know, we have our head stuck in the sand over here and we're very myopic about it, and we're talking about a case where he's in avelus. And if he's in avelus, you know, she doesn't put up a resistance. If he has a tremendous taiva, scabrus ha-yetzer, to violate his Isra Avelus, and therefore we have to impose very strict restrictions in order to guarantee that he doesn't violate his Isra Avelus. But if you look at this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Rav Huna, who's going to be more machmir in the case of Anida than in the case of Avelus, why is he being so liberal about Avelus? The answer is, Bavelus the duh. She herself is in a state of Avelus. She lost one of her relatives. And how do I know this? Because it says, Ein Adam Rashai Lachuf Es Ishto, because she's in Avelus, Leos Kocheles, Leos Pokeses, meaning to do all this kind of rouge and painting up her face. And why are we allowing the kishut of her face? The answer is she's in Avelus, and we're going to allow it, Kadesh Lo Tizkana Al Baila, and we're also allowing her to prepare all these, you know, intimate malachas for her husband. That's because she's in Avelus. And if she's in Avelus, she will not allow him to overstep his bounds and initiate some sort of intimate act during her Avelus. But when we go back to the Brisa that we're dealing with here in Masechta Ksubos, namely where he lost his father, and therefore he's in a state of what? Of Avelus. Here we have to be very, very strict. And the Gemara rejects this because Vilha Mace of Shal Khasan Ibn Shal Kala Kitani. And the Bryce is talking about two cases, either he's in Avelus or she's in Avelus. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here. And we're gonna bleed out next week. We'll try to reiterate the cash of the Gemara and see how the Gemara reconciles this contribution.
The opposite of that, if the husband is in Avelus, if there had been sex, he would be interred in Avelus.
Well, you know, he's hiding within himself between his Isra Avelus and his talk for Yitzhak. She's kind of like playing an innocent role as a bystander here. And if he loses this battle, you know, she steps aside.
That's interesting.
Right, let's just admire.